You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to BetQLU here on the Odyssey Sports app. I'm John Martin. He is RJ Choppy. Talking all things college basketball here as we wind our way down through this tournament. We've talked about two Elite Eight games that we know of. Obviously, this is recorded, so we unfortunately will not know the back half. But we do want to wish those four teams good luck. Right, RJ? Good luck. Have fun.
Well, three of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, depending. Hey. Yeah, that's exactly right. Good point. Good point. So anyway, good luck with all your games, and we'll see you on the other side. This show is about sportsmanship for the most part, 75% of the way. As we proceed, there are winners, and for there to be winners, RJ, there must be losers. As we look through the NCAA tournament, definitely you would say some very disappointing L's along the way. North Carolina last night, definitely on the list. Arizona last night, definitely on the list. I don't think anything will quite top Kentucky. I think if I was ranking it, I would probably have Kentucky 1, Auburn 2. Arizona and North Carolina would be battling it out for number 3. How would you rank who is more disappointing between Arizona and North Carolina?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think Arizona's more disappointing. First off, it's basically a home game for them, right? They're playing – it's a very easy trip to L.A. There's a lot of Arizona alums who live in the greater L.A. area. Yep. Clemson doesn't – I mean, I don't know that any team had to travel further than Clemson. Maybe North Carolina was the only one that actually had to travel further than Clemson. Nobody else did. And that's the crappy thing is that you had three schools, all in the Southeast, all having to travel out to L.A. to do that, right? But, I think Arizona's more disappointed. They were playing a perceived lesser opponent in Clemson, you know, a 6 seed versus a 4. And you had a home court advantage. Like, you should have won that game. And you have a guard who has been there before. And done it, and done a really good job at it. And he's a really good player. So I think that they would be the ones that really kind of stood out. They took the bigger L. It's not as big of an L as Kentucky's,
right?
You know, earlier this tournament. And I think the second biggest L Kentucky took is that, you know, if you ask Kentucky fans, is that Cal's coming back? That's the biggest L that they took. Man, you could do a lot worse to Coach Cal. I'll tell you that right now. You do a lot worse. You want to get rid of him? Go ahead. I remember Kentucky before Coach Cal got there. I remember them cycling through Billy Gillespie and Tubby Smith. I remember them not being happy with either one of them. So, you know, you get what you wish for, man.
Yeah.
Go for it. Texas?
Yeah.
Texas? Yep. You wanted Rick Barnes out of there. Okay, I get it. You know, there was a glass ceiling. Shaka didn't work. You know what happened with Chris Beard? And then now with Roddy Terry, I mean, okay. All right, get rid of them. Value relevancy. Teams don't value relevancy enough.
Well, we'll get to that. I want to get to Kentucky sort of separately and that decision and everything and how it can be successful. But I think I would say North Carolina is more disappointing. And the only reason I say that is because they brought back their top two guys. they brought back their top two dudes, you know, who had been in the championship game, you know, had been together forever. They got Caleb Love out of there. They blamed everything on him. And maybe, look, I mean, I'm sure everybody has their own sort of side of things, but I just feel like that North Carolina team should have gone further than the Sweet 16 with them having the production from their top two guys that have been in the program for as long as they've been in the program. There's no question that RJ Davis going 0-of-9 from three in his last game. He's kind of screaming into the void. He's screaming at the basketball gods. Yeah, I would say with that as a one seed for sure. I would say they're a little bit more disappointing than Arizona. I think Arizona kind of ran into a hot team, right? Like Clemson is just, you know, that's three straight games now where they've gotten, you know, these otherwise really good shooting teams to perform under, you know, their average for the season. And maybe there's not that much separation, right? I don't know. I mean, Arizona has had some, we talked about them all year long, some really random dumb losses. And you can sort of just add that one to the mix. Like there was no way I thought after they came back and took the lead again, or for the first time, I should say, that they would be giving it back. You're right. I think we all kind of had that thought. Like, oh, they, all right, they took the lead. They've stabilized. Everything's going to be fine now. But they're clearly just not that tough. They couldn't get stops, and they were pretty thin. So they had some flaws kind of to begin with. But this North Carolina team should have been a Final Four team. They should have, you know, they should be playing Clemson for the right to go to a Final Four. And I think that's the part of it, right, RJ, that I think that's what makes it a little bit more disappointing. Carolina is going to the Final Four if they beat Alabama, because they would have beaten the crap out of Clemson. That's a conference game, you know. So I think that's the one, and I think it does beg the question a little bit to me of Hubert Davis as the long term guy. You know, you mentioned relevancy, and I agree for the most part, but there are certain programs where that's not the bar. It can't be the bar,
right?
And Carolina is one of them. You know, yes. He went to he made a miraculous run to the national title game. What is it now? 2 years ago, but that was after a pretty bad regular season, right?
Last year, I mean, they were.
I mean, you got there, so you get the credit. If they win it, who cares, right? I mean, but we don't really that UConn title with Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright and Kevin Ollie. We don't really hold that title in high regard. That was just a random championship in the annals of history. You have a guy that played at Louisville taking a high leverage shot. That's awful. You cannot have that. You cannot have that in the year 2024. So I just think the questions about Hubert get a little louder. And they're loud too, as you mentioned, for Cal. And you seem to be on the boat of, and I think it's why they didn't make a change. They don't know where they would turn at Kentucky. They don't know who would take the job. They don't know who would be good. And I think that's probably a real concern. I lived it in Memphis. When Cal left Memphis for Kentucky, Memphis went through about 5, 6, 7 different coaches before they landed on Josh Pastor, the 32-year-old assistant that had never been a head coach, because nobody wants to follow Cal. He wins at such a level, or at least he did at Memphis, that people felt like it was impossible to replicate. Now, maybe they don't feel that way as much, given the recency of Kentucky and how kind of down it's been. But I do think, RJ, that is the point, that if they knew who they could get, they'd probably make the change, but they don't. And they don't want to wind up doing what Louisville just did and hiring a third or fourth guy on their list in Pat Kelsey.
No, they don't know where they would go. I mean, they know who they would ask. I mean, I know who their first call would be. I don't know if he says yes. Their first call is going to be Dan Hurley.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump.
a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And I can't believe I saw this on this was actually spoken or texted, typed into Twitter. And I can't remember who the account was. It was a major writer's account, and people were saying that, you know, Dan wouldn't leave. UConn's a better job. And I was like, what? UConn's a better job than Kentucky? We sure about that? Like, we doing in a recency bias here? Like, I don't know, man. Kentucky seems to me, they're on the Mount Rushmore of all-time programs, you know, with Duke and Carolina and Kansas, because, you know, UCLA's fallen off. They haven't been an all-time great program in 40 years. And I know UConn has done so many great things over the last 25 years. They got this four, five titles or whatever. But I don't know. I don't think that anybody really thinks that UConn is a better job. First of all, they probably can't afford what Kentucky can to pay him. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just so old school that I don't realize that UConn has passed up Kentucky, and maybe Dan doesn't want to leave the Northeast. But I know that's. But you're right. Like, not knowing, you can't fire somebody when you don't know who you're going to replace them with, because you can't get worse.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, look, I don't think Dan's – he's got it too set up there.
Yeah.
But, look, I mean, Cal – don't we all think that unless Cal makes an Elite Eight run next year, that he's going to be asked to – like, what's the threshold? Is it Sweet 16? Is that enough or is that not enough?
I mean, get out of the first weekend for starters. That'd be nice,
right?
If you're Kentucky, you know. But then it becomes about your draw. I think a lot of this is there was nothing they could have said about their draw this year. Nothing they could have said about it. Who would they have gotten in the second round? NC State?
Mm-hmm.
If they won, I mean, like, if they beat Oakland, so they would have got, right? NC State?
That would have been a sweet 16. Because we know NC State won, yeah, I mean, I don't remember whose game tipped first, but it doesn't matter. I mean, either one of those teams, yeah, they would be favored over. So it doesn't. I mean, you left a lot of money on the table, and it was a you know, we love to poke holes in these teams, but my God, that's got a top five pick on it, two top five picks on it, in Rod Dillingham and Reed Shepard.
Yep.
I mean, what are we talking about here? This is not some, you know, woe-begotten down on their luck roster. This is as good as it gets in college basketball. They're young.
It is.
You know,
and that's
they're NBA players.
That's the thing. I think a lot of this that we're missing is this is very much a COVID thing. Cal will be back to doing what he's doing. All these losses they've incurred are basically in the COVID years where everybody gets that fifth or sixth year even. I mean, how many teams have 25-year-olds on them, right? I mean, how many teams have guys that are just – I mean, if they were in the NBA, they'd be already on their second contract, and they're in college still, and that's because of these COVID years. And if you're a bunch of 18-year-old kids and you're going up against 24, 25-year-olds, dude, you're going to have problems. You are going to have problems that game.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, we hear that a lot, right? Like, here in Memphis, it's like, oh, Penny needs to change. You know, in Lexington, it's Cal needs to change. But how often and how much do you think that's really happening? Like, these are grown men. These are grown men who have objectively been successful in all of their jobs for their entire lives. And you think they're just going to change on a dime like that? Like, I don't see it, man. I don't really think that all of a sudden Cal is going to become some master of the portal where he was getting the NBA players and the NBA guards beforehand. Now he's just going to all of a sudden become he's going to nail the train. Maybe it could happen, RJ, but I'm skeptical is what I would say.
Now, because, you know, you first of all, you don't know. Guys in the transfer portal seem like they're more mercenary than anything. Whereas the high school kids, you could kind of get them and mold them how you want them to be. And if they leave, they leave. There's also a risk. I mean, you can't just throw eight new guys together and tell them to go play basketball. I mean, you could have all the talent in the world and it still might not work. It's a lot of coaching. Yep. So, you know, look, in the football landscape, Deion, I think I read Deion hasn't made an in-home visit yet. You know, he's going all portal. And Cal is going to go all freshman.
Yeah. And then you're going to wonder why the results are what they are. Or maybe you won't run. Maybe you won't wonder. I mean, just like anything else, it's got to be a blend. You can't take too much of one thing because that can go poorly too. You know, you need to find multi-year transfers. You need to find guys you can develop. That's what UConn has. UConn has Klingon came in as a freshman. Tristan Newton was a multi-year transfer, you know, mixed in with a couple of one-year guys here and there. Stephon Castle is a high school recruit. You know, you just have to find your blend. And that's not easy in this day and age. The process is totally different, but the best ones are going to master it. If you can't handle the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen. Go take your ball and go home like Coach K. You know, I mean, it's just you're either going to keep up in this day and age and fight for it or you can't. And so I'd say get off the porch. You know, this is for the big dogs. No more little dog stuff.
Yeah.
This is big dog only in 2024. All right. We'll talk about some of the hires that have been made in college basketball. Some certainly head scratching ones, I would say. And some leaps of faith certainly being taken in the world of college basketball. All that and more on BetQLU. We'll be back after this.